my goodness, I know we're supposed to get started. The microphone has like a life of its own. It keeps falling down. Maybe I need to get smaller. It's okay, it's on. It just keeps falling. I have to tighten it a little bit. Okay. Hi, everyone. Welcome. It is so great to have you on the Aging Well Together show back with us. We had a little bit of a break last week. This is... Oh, wait, we're talking about things. Oh, you can hear okay? Sorry, we're having fun doing sign language to each other in the studio with my fun friends here. Well, friends, oh, that was a little loud for you. Okay, Alicia, help Mary go a little bit lower with sound. She's getting overly...
I don't need to hear you. You know that?
You can just do it like that. Perfect.
I'll just speak.
Perfect. Here, wait, let me turn the music all the way down. It has been a bit of intense week, friends, as we think about this week, about America and democracy. And so many of us did our civic duty to vote. And Alicia did her civic duty. She's been working at the polls. She did early election for weeks. So thank you for your service, Alicia. And thank you, everyone who voted. But this time, as I was thinking about the show, it also makes us think about the critically important service of our men and women in our military who support and protect us. So our show's topic is even more appropriate for today as we approach Veterans Day next Monday. And I am thrilled we have Mary Markovich back with us. You may remember Mary from episode 51, now that we have numbers on it. She talked about elder and disability law. Mary specializes in elder and disability law. She's a longtime attorney, and she does a lot of work supporting veterans. And so I am so excited she's back with us today to talk about helpful information for our veterans and their caregiver support. So we are going to have a really informative show. I always hear about, not always, but we've had other shows on veterans issue and issues on my other work, and it's a bit complex. And so I'm super excited that we have Mary here to talk with us. I'm excited for all we will learn together. But before we dive into our show, as always, I want to give a shout out to WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carrboro on 103.5 FM for hosting our Aging Well Together show. Our Aging Well Together show is brought to you by the always helpful team at the Orange County Department on Aging. I was just with them about 20 minutes ago. I got to go over there and visit with the wonderful folks there. So a shout out to Janice Tyler, the director, if she's listening, and Kendall McMillan, the head of the Aging Transitions team. We haven't had Kendall on it's time for her to come back. She's been on, I think, 3 or 4 shows. We're still waiting for our fifth time guest. We've got 3 people in the running for a fifth time. Mary, this is your second time, so you'll have 3 more times, and I do have a special gift for our 5 timers.
Gold star in the middle of my forehead.
Yes, it'll be a little bit more creative than that. I'm very excited. Alicia, I have to talk to you about what I have planned. But for our loyal listeners, thank you for joining us each week as we interview special guests to share information and resources and insights and stories about the opportunities for aging well together. You can always catch us live, or mostly live, except for I'm going to be gone for the next 2 weeks. I have conferences. Health Policy Conference in Boston, and then the National Family Caregivers Conference in D.C. Ooh, so I'll be excited to come back.
Sounds interesting. Family caregivers.
I know. The National Alliance for Caregiving has their annual Caregiver Nation State meeting, and I'm the co-lead of the North Carolina chapter for our family caregivers group, so I'm super excited to go there. So I am going to miss the next 2 Thursdays. We'll have wonderful previous shows that you'll get to listen to. But every Thursday from 2 to 3, you can hear us either live or recorded. And you can also stream us live through WCOMFM.org, or you can listen to any of our previous shows, aka our podcasts, through the Orange County Department on Aging's website, which is, this is where we take a pause. Folks, get your pen and paper out so you can write down our website, but also I think we'll be sharing some other information later that you may want to be able to scribble down. So the website is www.orangecountync.gov/aging, orangecountync.gov/aging. And on the website, you can find links to our Aging Well Together radio show. And this show, Alicia, is number 60.
Is it really?
Yeah, we're getting up there. We're now older Americans act age. We're 60. This is exciting. Wow. We're going to have to do something special for our 65th show. I will pay attention to that. So on the website, not only can you find links to our radio show and our recordings, but you can also find such a host of helpful resources about aging in Orange County, North Carolina. If you have any questions about any of the resources, and you may after we discuss today, or if you want to suggest a topic for an upcoming show, you can either call the Department on Aging. Their general number is 919-968-2070, or you can email me at agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. That's all one long smushiness, agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. And I will say, I am just now starting to book for our 2025 season.
Yay.
We are booked up through the rest of the year. And so, listeners, if you have ideas of people you'd like us to highlight or organizations or topics, feel free to email us. We actually got another email the other day. So I love when folks reach out and give us some ideas for some show topics. As always, I do want to give a shout out to the Carborough Bass Band, the Robert Bradford Quartet, yay, for allowing us to use their great music for our opening and closing music. You'll hear more at the end. And then I want to, as I said before, welcome back, Alicia. We missed you.
I was gone.
You were gone. You missed some really great shows.
I heard them.
Oh, you did? How was it working the polls?
It was good. If they don't remember it. It was only a dream.
It was only a dream. I know. They kept you so busy.
I know. We were busy.
All right. Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
And this will be a great show. And I'm so glad you and Mary are finally getting to meet each other, because you didn't get to meet her on her last show. So she is a wealth of knowledge. Let me just give a quick shout out about me. That's kind of funny. But I am Heather Altman. I am your host. I've spent over 25 years in aging services and supports. I help older adults and their families connect with resources in our community. I am a caregiver for older family members. And at 54, I am focusing on my own changing needs. So I'm super invested, as I always say, in how we are all aging well together. Okay, Mary, I am so excited to have Mary Markovich back, as I started to say before, but I'll give a little bit more of a warm welcome. Mary has over 30 years of experience. She serves clients in the greater Raleigh and North Carolina area. She provides a broad range of legal and law-related services for nonprofits and small business owners, for veterans and retirees. She brings a wealth of knowledge. I just learned as we were getting ready, she also teaches attorneys how to represent veterans. She is just such a perfect time for you to come back. So welcome back, Mary.
Thank you so much for inviting me. This is a topic that fits well with elder law, disability law, and I have a special place in my heart because my husband was a Vietnam veteran. He served and was discharged before we met. He was catastrophically disabled with PTSD and other physical injuries, and for years tried to get benefits from the VA and was always denied.
Wow.
So that's why every client I have who's a veteran, I try to relate to them one-on-one. But as we're going to talk about VA benefits, first I want to tell you, this is just the tip of the iceberg.
I know, she was warning me.
The very tip of the iceberg. And so I don't want to flood you with a whole bunch of information, feeling like you're drinking from a fire hose, because mm-hmm. you won't retain any of it. And so I'm going to go slow, and we're just going to talk about, first of all, the VA.
Mm-hmm.
It's really called the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Mm-hmm.
It is the second largest federal administrative agency.
Ooh, wait, you just opened up a trivia. So, right, Alicia, you think of the same thing. Right. And Alicia, you can put the mic closer to you. Oh. So when you said the second largest, I'm going to guess what the first, should we guess what the first largest is?
Okay, go ahead and guess. I know you'll guess.
The military?
No, because this is the Veterans Affairs.
Federal Administrative Agency.
Oh.
That's the largest one? Oh.
What is the largest?
Oh.
I am thinking it's CMS, Centers for Medicare. No. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Social Security.
Social Security.
Okay, so Social, that would make sense.
Number one, and then the Veterans Administration is number two?
All right, so go on. Keep going. Yeah.
To talk about this on a radio show, I want you to just kind of use your imagination a little bit. And what I'm trying to do is peel back some of the VA's complex bureaucratic onion. So just peeling back a little bit at a time, and then we'll discuss that, and maybe if there are any questions, they'll come up, and hopefully I'll be able to answer them in a concise manner.
I know, and I should say, you know, we've not tried this before, but if folks are listening live and they do want to call in, we could try. I can see if I can figure out how to put on air, or I'll hear what your question is. It's 919. I should give you this number. 919-246-9639 if you do have questions for Mary, but if not, Alicia and I will pummel you with questions. But all right, so go on. So we're picturing.
All right. Imagine in your mind three boxes laid horizontally.
Okay, I'm all into holiday shopping, so are they wrapped? So three big boxes.
For the first one is labeled the National Cemetery Administration. Okay. These are all sub-agencies within the VA. So the National Cemetery Administration, and the second box is labeled the Veterans Health Administration. And then the third box is labeled the Veterans Benefits Administration.
Okay.
So these are sub-agencies within that big VA agency. Generally, they operate independent of one another. The National Cemetery Administration administers veteran cemeteries, and that's for veterans and some of the veterans' family members.
It's like Arlington Cemetery and those...
Right.
Even around.
Arlington is not part of it. Is that what you said, Arlington?
I should just stop talking.
Well,
I feel like, you know,
I think that Arlington, because of the veterans, but I thought that too.
Okay, go on. Tell us.
Well, these are VA national cemeteries, and they administer things like this is kind of off topic, but like memorial plots.
Yes.
And sometimes they put the flags at Christmas time.
Sure. Is it also like when my uncle passed away, he got a military...
Personnel came.
Is that connected through the cemetery?
No, that's the Department of Defense.
All right, I'm just going to stop.
Okay.
I feel like we should... I wasn't going to make Mary talk. Alicia, we're going to just stop talking. All right, go on,
Each one of these boxes could be a separate topic.
And this is what we mean by the complexity and the onion.
Correct.
All right, go on.
Correct. So we'll just kind of skim over...
We're skimming.
The National Cemetery Administration. Then the Veterans Health Administration. Now, most people are familiar with that, like VA medical centers and things like that. And they do administer a variety of programs geared toward the veteran or the veteran's family members' health concerns.
Yeah, we have that here in Durham. You know, the Duke VA or the Durham VA is right there. That's not too far away.
Right.
Okay.
That's administered by the Veterans Health Administration. And then we have, in the third box, Veterans Benefits Administration.
Okay.
And the Veterans Benefit Administration has a variety of programs, and we're not going to address all those programs, but that has to do with monetary benefits to the veteran and the veteran's family members.
Got it. And that's what we're going to talk a lot about today. So there's the health care. The actual provision of health care goes through the Veterans Health Administration. This is about the monetary support, and that goes through the Veterans Benefits Administration.
Well, our focus today is just, and we're just kind of laser focused on VA benefits for veterans caregivers.
Okay. This is good for us to be focused. We're very, Alicia and I like to be universal. We like to be tangenty. We like to be lack of focus, but we are, but you had prepped me for this, Mary, so I knew. Alicia's wasn't prepped, but I have the notes, so I knew we are focusing on veterans caregivers,
well, see,
which is
if you don't
so important.
Get focused on it, the problem is it's so complex and it's so interesting. You can go off into one direction or another, and then that isn't helping your listeners who
I know.
Are thinking
and
about this.
This is like our third show earlier on, and I didn't look up that number. We had we do have another show earlier on some similar topics about veterans and caregiver support. So we wanted Mary to come on to help give some more clarity.
Okay. Well, remember I said generally each of these separate sub-agencies operate independent of one another.
Yes.
But for caregivers, both the Veterans Benefits Administration and the Veterans Health Administration work together.
Yes.
To help the caregivers.
They overlap.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
When you can you define caregivers? Could it be the wife or someone coming into the house, or who is the caregiver?
Yes.
Considered the caregiver?
Ooh, that's a good question. I have
whoever
seen her
the
notes.
Veteran selects, and I was going to get to that.
Oh, okay.
Who is the caregiver? But it's up to the veteran, because the veteran is the one who always gets the benefit, and the veteran is the one who decides who the caregiver is,
mm-hmm.
and who the VA will pay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I know you're going to get into that more, because I have seen that. So, good question, Alicia. You are right on.
I want to know.
Thinking ahead. I know. Well, it's such a great benefit, but a lot of people, they have loved ones. They're going to care for them anyway. They don't necessarily know the VA is not going to come knocking at the door and say, hey, you're doing this benefit for a veteran, mm-hmm. and we're going to give you all this help.
Yeah, you could be eligible. Well, so talk about the service eligibility. Like, how does that, was that the next thing you were going to talk about? Like, how does someone become eligible for this veterans caregivers support?
Well, it's important to begin this discussion that the VA differentiates between service-connected veterans,
yes.
their disability, and veterans who have a disability that's not connected to their military service.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two different things. But as I said, all monetary benefits are based on the veteran's service eligibility.
Okay.
And if he or she does not meet that eligibility criteria, then there's no benefit.
Okay.
Okay.
And you'll get all into that, because I know that was the big issue in the earlier show, because there's a lot of complexity with there. How do you get defined as having a service-related eligibility.
Right.
Listeners, sometimes I wish we had a TV show, not a radio show, because Mary is giving the best expressions, and she's like putting her hand, like, okay. Yes, we will get to that. I'm going to take it away,
Remember,
Mary.
I teach this. So
I know she does.
I know all the questions that come up, but generally I teach on webinars, and I have a chat. At each break, so makes it easier.
All right, we won't talk.
no, we're gonna talk, ask your questions.
Yeah, we'll type it away.
So I said all payments are to the veteran,
mm-hmm.
because the VA says all these benefits go to the veteran.
Yes.
So just because someone is married to a veteran for a long time, if the veteran is not eligible, then there will be no payments to the caregiver.
Yeah.
I should kind of put that up front.
Yeah, the eligibility criteria is key.
Correct.
For the veteran.
For the veteran, yes. But also, in this case, for the caregiver. And I'd say primarily a dishonorable discharge, for example,
mm-hmm.
then there are no benefits
mm-hmm.
to the individual. It doesn't matter how many years the individual served. The VA does not consider that person a veteran, and so there are no benefits, monetary or otherwise,
okay.
All right, to the family members or the veteran.
So then what are so how else do you, you tell me if you want to talk about service, how they define that, the service connected.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I said the veteran chooses who will be the caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
Now, first, we're going to talk about service-connected veterans.
Yes.
Because that's the largest category. Currently, VA statistics, they aren't always up to date, but the last statistics we have are there are 5.3 million veterans who have a service-connected disability.
Wow.
That's a lot of veterans, and primarily that's because we've been in the Gulf War status mm-hmm. since 1990.
Just over
and it continues on in 1990s, so a long time.
I'm doing that math.
And until there's a presidential proclamation or Congress says that Gulf War has ended.
Oh, it's still classified
it's still
as going on?
Yes. Since 1990, we've been in a Gulf War.
Alicia and I are.
And the VA recognizes that. And all those veterans who have served from 1990 on, they served during what's called the Gulf War period of war.
Oh, and I know, I just know because I watch a lot of television, but, and isn't there some controversy? Because you had said there's 5.3 million veterans with a service-connected disability.
Correct.
However, I see sometimes a controversy about whether something gets classified, like you see things about burn pits and PTSD, mm-hmm. and isn't this also, I know we probably don't want to go down that road, but I know, isn't it sort of controversial what gets classified?
It's changing all the time, and
yes.
it's governed by Congress.
Yes,
who,
I saw that.
The VA administers these programs, but Congress mandates.
So does
acts.
That mean they change? They're subject to change?
Correct, all the time. Is subject to change.
I saw something recently. It was something in an affected female, women who were in the military, and there was something in particular, I can't remember what it was, that was affecting women, and then it got passed by Congress because they finally addressed it and said, yes, this is a service-connected.
From 1990?
I'm not sure when it was.
Well,
I mean, is there someone always
served.
In Congress trying to represent benefits for wars? 1990? I mean, you know,
I don't understand your question.
Oh, if they have a service connected from a war before the Gulf.
Oh,
war.
Yes.
This
Caregivers Act was enacted in 2018, and it covers veterans from all wars, and that's including World War II. There's still some veterans who are World War II veterans. The caregivers will get this benefit. The Korean War, Vietnam War,
mm-hmm.
and the Gulf War. And I just happened to throw that out there, that the Gulf War is a massive.
And it's still technically going on.
It is.
Huh. Okay.
And it will continue until Congress passes an act that it is ended, or.
Okay. I mean, how can that happen? If Congress can officially say the war is ended?
Presidential
yes.
proclamation.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, so then, if other things about, we'll go on about the service connected disabilities and the compensation and how people become eligible for that. Because then I know it gets quirky with like the percentage of the disability, like 70% or something. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at you just to kind of, you'll know what I'm talking about to take it away. Or whatever
about.
Makes sense.
Veterans who have a service-connected disability can have any amount of income and assets. They can be multimillionaires and still qualify for this benefit.
Okay.
That's with service-connected. And I'm going to flip the switch when we talk about veterans who are disabled currently but have non-service connected disability.
Got it. We're still on the part one service connected. Okay.
So this particular help for caregivers was established by the Mission Act of 2018. So mm-hmm. in 2018, Congress passed and the president signed the Mission Act. And that act expanded. It's called the Comprehensive Program for Family Caregivers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been implemented in several different phases because it is a massive act. Imagine covering
yes.
all those veterans who served in any era. You know, mm-hmm. it's a massive amount of people. I mentioned about the vastness. So here's the eligibility criteria.
Yep, this is where The devil's in the details.
Devil is in the details. First, for service connection, the veteran has to have a disability rating of 70% disabled.
See, I remember the 70% number, because that's...
It's a hard number to get to.
It's key most veterans. That the issue has to be rated as 70%, right? Okay, so go on.
Okay, so it can be multiple disabilities. Maybe there's a mental disability, such as PTSD or traumatic brain injury, and then... coupled with that is a physical injury
mm-hmm.
of some sort. And so the combined ratings have to be 70%. So that's why veterans seek a VA accredited attorney mm-hmm. to try to get an increase in their disability rating. Mm-hmm. So it's at least 70%
and that,
for this particular thing.
And that where I remember hearing, and that also can be, upsetting and controversial. Like I have a friend who during the Vietnam era has service-connected hearing loss from artillery.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't know if it rose to the point of a rating as a 70%, it might be like 30 or 40%.
Tell your friend that the VA will never give more than 10% for a hearing disability.
Interesting. Okay. I remember this issue that's why you need to consult with a professional to help.
Even if you got a professional, would it?
No. 10%.
Even with an attorney?
10% is it.
So these, different disabilities have different numbers,
There are other things that can be combined with that hearing loss. How did the hearing loss happen? Was it in combat? Was there PTSD combined mm-hmm. with that hearing loss? What caused the hearing loss? And so that's how attorneys hold the whole medical and military record, I'd say, up like to a prism,
mm-hmm.
as a jeweler would, looking at different aspects. What caused it? Where were you?
Okay.
Were you exposed to asbestos during this time?
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of other things that the veteran may have not thought of. Just
to try
saying,
to get to the 70% threshold.
Right. I just had a hearing loss. Well, okay. Well, how'd you get it? Where were you? You know, all those kind of questions. So the other thing is that the veteran has to be honorably discharged
mm-hmm.
for this benefit for the caregiver. And some veterans had a discharge maybe under honorable conditions, and that's where a VA accredited attorney will help upgrade the discharge, request an upgrade. Doesn't upgrade, the VA, or the military does this, but there can be a request, a formal.
Okay.
Where evidence is presented of why there wasn't an honorable discharge. And that hooks in with PTSD, for instance, with someone who is having substance abuse problems to deal with, trying to self-medicate for the PTSD.
Yes.
And then that's why they didn't get an honorable discharge.
Mm-hmm.
That's just an example of the most common problem.
That's helpful, and I'm trying hard not to tangent us with other questions of other possible honorable discharge, but okay, go on. I will keep my comments,
maybe
for later, but yes, that itself is controversial, right? Well,
okay.
Yeah, go on.
So to be eligible for this program also, the veteran needs to be enrolled in the Veterans Health Administration program.
But what if the veteran is so far gone that you can't get him to participate or be there or be at the appointments or da da da? I mean,
so far gone mentally or physically?
Both.
Okay. Well, then there's a guardian mm-hmm. appointed.
But
and
what
the
if
guardian.
They, okay. You keep going because I have.
So to be enrolled in the program, all someone has to do is go to va.gov.
Oh, thank you.
And in the search box, type in 1010EZ. Not the words 1010, but
the numbers.
10-10EZ. And this, you'll see, you can download the form. It's fillable online. It can be submitted online, and then the VA will begin to process this application. Once there is an application, then the veteran is scheduled for an appointment at the VA Medical Center, the local one, and also receives a little wallet card that's like the size of a credit card. It's called a Veterans Health Identification Card. And then...
It's like you have a Medicare card. This is
Right.
is your... And you have a driver's license. This is your... And I'm so glad... I'll take a quick pause because I'm so glad you put the website, because that was... I want to make sure when folks are listening, if they want more, that, that really your portal to helpful information is va.gov. I know that each county, because we have one here, each county... or areas around North Carolina and around the U.S. has VSOs, these Veteran Service Officers. Is it Veteran Support Officer?
It's Veteran Service Organizations, and they hire people who submit paperwork to the VA.
And so they will help, because I know we had the, it has now switched, and I might have the new person for Orange County come on. And won't they also help fill out your forms? I remember that.
Well, this is a really easy form. This is just...
It's literally called
1010 Easy.
Okay.
And in fact, actually, all the forms, if you hover over the boxes, the VA has revamped all of these, I guess, in the last couple of years. You just hover over whatever box, because it's a lot of information to fill in, and look, there's a little pop-up box that'll just tell you exactly what you need to put in there.
Oh, that's nice.
Like last name first, and then first name and middle initial, or whatever it is you need to put in. So they've tried to I've been doing this since 2009, and it used to be much more complicated, but now to file the application, it's really quite simple.
Oh, that's good. Okay, well, sorry. So thank you. You were saying you fill out these forms.
Okay.
Or the form.
And then the next thing is for eligibility for the veteran, the veteran has to have a physician sign a VA form stating that the veteran needs this care. It's called personal care. And I don't know if we have time to get into, maybe we do.
Sure, you can give
the
a quick
personal
list of
care.
What classifies as that.
Well, the doctor signs this form that the personal care is needed for at least 6 months.
Okay.
And that's real easy to find. It's VA form 21-2680. And you find it at the same place, va.gov.
Is it 21?
-2680. Veteran doesn't fill out anything, just gives that to the doctor. The doctor fills it out in that medical language that only doctors understand. Now, that's all that's needed for the caregiver eligibility, or the veteran's eligibility. Now we'll talk about the caregiver's eligibility.
Okay.
Only one of the following has to be true.
Only one. Oh, this is like a test.
Yeah.
Okay, this is fun.
Which of the following, and I'm not going to ask you which one is not true.
Okay.
I'm just going to tell you four different things, or excuse me, three different things, and then only one of them has to be true. The caregiver is at least 18 years old.
Okay.
The caregiver is a spouse, a son, a daughter, a stepchild, or an extended family member.
And it just said son or daughter, and only, okay, do the last one, because that means it can be a son or daughter that's under 18, because you said only one of these has to be true.
Correct. That's what the regulations state.
All right, go on.
And the last criteria is the caregiver is living with the veteran or willing to live with the veteran if the VA designates the person as a veteran's caregiver.
Okay.
There, only one of these things has to be true.
So these are not professional caregivers, like you go and you hire a home care aide. These are paying for a kind of a family caregiver.
It's the veteran has the money. If he doesn't want a family member, he can hire one of these professional people to come in. And most people want their own family around them.
It's great. So then they have the flexibility to hire either through an agency or a professional external, but this that's really big, is that they also can compensate a family member for doing this care. I love
right.
it.
Right, and we're going to get down to that.
All right, go on.
Primary and secondary caregivers. So one of the first questions people ask, well, the doctor has to say their personal care services are needed.
Mm-hmm.
What are personal service care?
Mm-hmm.
These are services the eligible veteran needs from another person, and there's actually a long list of those,
mm-hmm.
Primarily activities of daily living,
mm-hmm.
bathing, feeding,
dressing, transferring
from bed to, mm-hmm. but they're also, and if we can talk about this, instrumental activities of daily living.
Yes.
And those are things that really aren't so necessarily health related, but they are personal care services for the veteran. And that means the veteran, it relates to the veteran's health and well-being.
Mm-hmm.
Which can be pretty extraordinarily
like cooking
large.
And laundry, right. And cleaning, more prep work, managing certain things in the house. Yeah.
Or safety and protection,
mm-hmm.
From a daily environment. Maybe the veteran has issues with personal safety,
mm-hmm.
A problem maybe with mobility.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe falling or something like that. The doctor recommends that he or she has someone there to make sure that there are no falls, or some veterans who have traumatic brain injuries, they need someone to make sure that their safety is a priority.
Okay.
So one of the questions that comes up too is, so how many caregivers can an eligible veteran appoint?
Good question.
So first there's the primary caregiver.
Mm-hmm. Like a spouse,
okay.
or a child.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually in VA language called the main caregiver.
Okay. I like that. That works.
And if a family member takes this role, then that family member receives a stipend, a monthly stipend from the VA. And
oh,
so that's
so this,
how it meets together.
Got
the
it.
Veterans
so,
Benefits Administration gives the money, and then the health care.
So it goes directly, because I know, because I thought before the money goes directly to the veteran, and the veteran can pay.
Well,
in this
that's,
case.
Well, that's true. It is the veteran's benefit. He designates who can receive the money.
And then the money can go he or she
to one of these professional people or to the family caregiver. And up to two secondary caregivers can give backup support.
Sure.
Two?
So maybe up to two more.
Which one makes
sense?
So
you have your wife, maybe, who is the primary caregiver, or your child. Well, they can't be with you 24/7. They might want to go get their hair fixed or go to the store or something like that.
Their own doctor's appointment. I'm working with caregivers every day. Yes.
And so then the veteran hires a secondary caregiver.
Okay.
Who gives that money. So what benefits are eligible for primary and secondary caregivers? I would say the most valuable thing is education and training.
Mm-hmm.
And those are monthly Zoom webinars that teach about caregiving to the veteran and also help the caregiver avoid burnout. Help the caregiver take care of himself or herself also, because you can't help somebody else if you are being deprived yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So
I have a colleague that I'm on Zoom meetings with a lot, and she does a lot of advocacy and awareness about this these types of family caregiver programs through the VA, and she talks about how amazingly supportive it has been, the support that they give to her to help care for her husband, and the education and training and support So go on. So yes.
Well, not even related to the VA. I can't tell you how many caregivers I have who are devoted to their loved one, and then they just put so much stress on themselves, they have a heart attack or a stroke or something like that. You know, so these are, I think, invaluable mm-hmm. webinar helps, that's training
it really
from
is,
professionals.
Which made me think we didn't say this at the top of the hour because we were focusing on it's Veterans Day on Monday, but it is November. It is National Family Caregiver Month.
Oh,
so this
yes.
is the month really to be thinking about all of us who are caregivers. They're now saying it went from 53 million to over 100 million of us out there. And so, as you were saying, this is not just for veterans. Everyone needs to be getting wow. lots of support to help address burnout. But
absolutely.
Go on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking about my estate planning clients who are caring for a family member, but they're not veterans. They still, you know, need that backup.
Oh, all this.
And
yeah.
I have to be reminding them, you take care of yourself too.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you know?
And send them my way. I spent 75 minutes on the phone with a lovely woman yesterday who's caring for both her parents. And so, yeah, there's so, and there's a lot of other programs, but this one's helpful to know this show about what's there for veterans and then helping to tap in. And we've had some other shows and we'll continue to do that. Maybe I'll put that on for next week's show about the general caregiver resources.
That
I'll
would
put
be
that
good
on for next
for
week.
National
right,
family
since
caregivers.
You're so in tune to that,
I am.
And you are
and
the
it's National Family Caregiver.
And it's National Family Caregiver Month.
So mm-hmm. in addition to that, there is a monthly stipend paid to the caregiver. It is tax-free.
Mm-hmm.
There are no federal or state taxes ever involved in that stipend.
Okay.
There's mental health counseling mm-hmm. for the caregiver. The caregiver is also reimbursed for travel expenses and for reimbursed for lodging, food, anything that's involved when the caregiver has to take the veteran to a VA medical center mm-hmm. or for health care, wherever that health care might be. Mm-hmm. So that's invaluable too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The caregiver also has access to health care benefits through, I call it CHAMP VA, mm-hmm. but some people call it CHAMPVA.
It's funny, know. I was just, I have the notes I was looking at. I'm like, I wonder if it is CHAMPVA, but I like CHAMP VA. That makes sense better.
It makes sense to me, but you know, I guess it's tomato, tomato. It's just CHAMP VA. But the real name is Civilian Health and Medical Program of the Department of Veterans Affairs. So you can imagine why they adopted that acronym.
Yeah.
And that's if the caregiver does not have access to maybe the healthcare provider or the caregiver had to stop work to be a caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe the healthcare coverage stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how CHAMP VA can really, you know, help the caregiver mm-hmm. have his or her own healthcare.
That was my life, but my parents were not veterans, so I'm still privately paying health insurance. But yeah, when I saw that list of, so it's hard to qualify, but when you do qualify for a service-connected disability, there's so much that is provided for the veteran and for their caregiver, which is wonderful.
But you said it's hard. So
we're going to get to what happens if you don't qualify. I know what's coming next.
She saw.
I saw the cheat sheet.
So if there is a VA form to apply for the health care advantage of CHAMP VA, and that's you go to va.gov
mm-hmm.
and you type in the search box 1010D as in David.
All like one on, is it like 10 dot or like
10-10D as in David.
Got it.
And you pull up that form, and if you already have health care and you're wanting to, you know, maybe it doesn't cover as much as you need to, there is another form, 10-10-10-CG. C is in Charlie, G is in mm-hmm. girlfriend. I don't
you know, this what, is so helpful because I can imagine there are people, or will you tell me, are there folks that are doing all this anyway and they have no idea that they are eligible? Or maybe they realize their spouse is available. Yes, that their spouse is maybe getting veteran services, but the range of support that could be coming to the family member who's a caregiver and may have no idea that this
No idea. How was
that?
Well, there
show.
Used to be a program that's kind of outdated now, where there was help for a caregiver who helped a veteran who served after September the 11th, 2001.
Okay.
And there were certain criteria, but it was limited to those veterans. Now, since 2018, it's expanded to veterans who served at any era.
But folks don't know what they don't know. And are there folks at the VA that are like, hey, I'm going to look through every participant and make sure their loved ones are getting everything?
When they're
there. I don't
there.
Feel like that probably
when
exists. I
there.
Think it's people have to be. Okay, listeners, Mary is rolling her eyes right now. It doesn't exist.
You
so
have
this
to
is
be
where
your
you have
own
to advocate.
Advocate.
You have to be your
That's
own advocate.
Right.
Yeah.
But you're already in a situation, so. You
or
know,
find someone.
When I have clients say, well, why didn't somebody tell me about this? And I said, think of it this way.
Yeah.
Is the IRS ever going to send you a letter and say, hey, I noticed that you could have a bigger refund if you take this exemption? No.
It almost sounds like a scam or fraud call where someone, you know, hey, you could get this and this. And you're like, okay, that's scam. But
like you said, while you're with that veteran at the appointment, say, mm-hmm. isn't there like a checks lifts it, and by the way, did you know you could take advantage of this? Because you're in front of the doctor and he has an opportunity to, or the not the doctor, but
it's
the person
why,
that comes in the room.
It's why folks like Mary and in my intake when I'm working with new clients, it's one of the first questions we ask are, is your loved one a veteran? And so to me, since I don't know all the complexities, if they say yes, it is just a trigger for me to be like, okay, make sure you are getting information about the range of things. But I had no idea about the range. I knew there was some caregiver support, but I didn't realize it was this range. So that's why we're doing a radio show on this topic. All right, so folks are available for a lot, but I know you want to get to part two.
Part two. Mm-hmm. is for veterans who are currently disabled, but their disability is not related to anything in service.
Got it. So you don't have that 70% that happened during a conflict that...
Well, the biggest example I give is veterans who currently have and are diagnosed with crippling arthritis.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Well, that is a disabling condition. And the person is a veteran, but if you don't go through the process of applying for VA mm-hmm. disability compensation, then you are in the category of a non-service connected disability. Hmm. So what VA accredited attorneys do is same thing, look through the medical and the military history and find out if there is something, some incident or accident that happened during active duty mm-hmm. that can be related back to.
So they'll always check to see if it is if it can be service connected.
If it can be service connected.
So that's the
so
first
that's
part.
Kind of the flip thing. So the same process, there are only about 600,000 veterans who have a service-connected disability and are receiving what is called VA pension. It is not military pension. It is VA pension, and there are three levels.
Wait, real quick. Wait, you said there's 600,000 that are service-connected? Because I thought these were the not service.
Excuse me.
No, no. You said 6,000.
600,000.
600,000 have the
non-service connected disability rating for pension.
I would think
they're receiving
so
pension.
Much higher. Isn't that funny? I would have thought it would be a much higher number, that the number of the non-service related disability would be a lot higher than. Okay, go on.
I would think that it should, but you have a lot of mental out there.
Well, the problem is for pension It is asset and income restricted.
Oh, okay. So there's a lot more restrictions. Okay.
Remember I said at the beginning that service connected, you could be a multimillionaire and you'd still get that benefit.
Okay.
But this one, and that's where
it's kind of like
trusts and Medicaid planning and everything comes in, and you get an attorney to reallocate assets and things like that.
Got it. Okay,
so
that's
you
making
don't
a lot
have
more
very,
sense. So it's like other income eligible programs.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So then those folks, that 600,000 who have a non-service connected disability.
But there are many more than that 600,000 who are appealing their claims to get service connection.
Wow.
You know, so that's the eligibility, and there's a lot of criteria for that.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't really need to go into the eligibility. I think we kind of covered that eligibility for when we talked about service-connected. But the entitlement for VA pension, there are three levels, and I didn't put this in your writing, but there's the basic level.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's housebound level, and that's for veterans who are limited to staying in their home.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is the next level is called aid and attendance.
Yes, I hear that term a lot.
Well, that's because everybody tries to get aid and attendance because that's the largest monetary benefit.
And it's because when I'm talking with folks, it's usually farther down in the need process where they're really needing more home care or they're needing help for in a community setting, a senior living community. Okay, so yes, tell us about aid and attendance.
And the physician is the one who recommends the level of care.
Okay.
So that's all. And that's that same form, VA form 21-2680.
Okay. And so the pension they get.
These are all available free online.
There you go.
You don't have to pay anybody to get them. They're just.
And I'm assuming that the basic is the least amount of money. Homebound's middle and aid in attendance is more. Is that.
Basic is veterans basically who. Sorry, I used the word basic twice, but veterans who are homeless or in danger of becoming homeless.
Got it.
And then there's an extra monetary benefit for veterans who are, in addition to that basic amount, veterans who are housebound.
Mm-hmm.
And then in addition to the basic amount, there's a higher amount for aid and attendance. And that's why everybody tries to get aid and attendance because
it'll pay for caregivers to come in. And it won't. Now, in that case, it's not paying for your own family caregiver. Or can you use that aid and
attendance?
We're
going to get to that.
And you've got, great, we've got 5 minutes, 4 to 5 minutes, and you touch on everything that's important.
Okay. For non-service-connected disabilities, the veteran cannot delegate care to a spouse to receive the stipend.
Mm-hmm.
To provide care because, remember we said it's asset and income restricted?
Mm-hmm.
So if the spouse gets extra income from the VA, then the VA, it's not countable as for tax purposes, but it's countable for VA purposes.
Mm. Got it. Okay.
So, however, then with non-service connected disabilities, the veteran can hire someone who is not living in the home.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so an adult child who doesn't live at home with them.
Nieces, nephews, grandchildren, some people I put out. That's staying in the family group.
Mm-hmm.
Or can hire someone who is comes in maybe and
a
couple of times a week or something like that. Just whatever the doctor recommends.
Okay.
The question, I'll just kind of go over this kind of quickly because people want to know, so how much is this stipend amount?
Oh, yeah. I want to know that.
Well, currently the national average is approximately $30,000 to $35,000 a year.
Oh, that's a nice amount, right?
But,
that sounds it depends on the level of care you need.
Especially not if you're giving up your job, you know. But factor in it's not taxable. But the VA pays a monthly stipend to family caregivers based on the number of hours of personal care services that the doctor says the veteran requires. And the stipend is calculated by multiplying the Bureau of Labor Statistics hourly wage for home health care aides.
Yes.
And that's based on consumer price index for the previous year.
Yeah.
Cost of living. And there are a lot of calculations.
Yeah, and I know my advocate friends have always worked to sort of ratchet that up a little bit to get more support. But go on. She's looking at me. I know we only have 2 minutes left, so I'm not going to say anything else.
Okay. And I think it's when we're talking about the amount, there are two separate levels of caregiving. First is the caregiver who is at level one. They only receive 62.5. Don't ask me how they came up with this number. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
62.5 of the monthly stipend rate. And that varies from year to year based on the cost of living. Just like Social Security increases or stays the same, you know, and it changes all the time. So does this.
Yeah.
But then there's level two caregivers, and they get 100% of whatever the calculation is. Level one caregivers are for veterans who need substantial care, but they're more independent. They can go out and do things. They maybe they need protection for safety purposes, but they're able to feed themselves and bathe and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And level two caregivers who are for veterans, and they get 100%, are for caregivers who need that stipend because the veteran is not able to do much by himself or herself.
Well, so I think we got through most of the notes in our just a few moments left. I want you to be able just to kind of, as your sign off, what's your big takeaway for folks?
Big takeaway. Well, I would say if you have any questions, I am giving a seminar on November 15th at the Chapel Hill Library, and it's a one-hour seminar, and I have handouts, I have a PowerPoint presentation, because sometimes someone can say something over the radio, and even if you say it a few times, and I'm sitting across the desk from a client, but if they see the presentation or they can take something home, then it's much easier to understand. So if you'd like to do that, it's Chapel Hill Library on November 15th.
At what time?
2:00.
2:00.
1 to 2.
1 to 2. All right. Sorry. 1 to 2. All right. Well, and November 15th's a Friday?
Pardon me?
It's a Friday. November.
Yes,
I know it is. Okay, because I was going to say, wait, is that the same time as our show? All right.
No,
no, it's fine. No. That's one of our recorded shows. So we need to sign off. We didn't do a disclaimer in the beginning of this show, but we will add, this show was for educational purposes, a tiny bit of entertainment purposes, but really my takeaway for folks is go and find yourself, if you have a loved one who's a veteran, if you're a veteran, go and find yourself a VA-accredited attorney. Go to www.va.gov. Look at who your county veteran services organization is, but go and get the help, because you may be eligible for things that you didn't realize. And we this, especially during this time, we want to extend our gratitude to all the men and women who have served, and want to make sure that you're getting the support back to yourselves that you deserve and your family members. Also want to give some gratitude, Mary Markovich. Thank you so much for coming back to the Aging Well Together show. So helpful. We're going to talk about, is there other topics you want to come back in January in 2025? You're so good. I mean, in the year of 2025 for our show.
Because you have too much information.
Too much information.
You haven't even
See,
tapped
that's
on.
Why I warned you. It was just the tip got, of the iceberg.
It is. It is.
We've got a lot more information than people would like to know.
I know we have to turn it over in 1 minute to Afternoon Talk with Alicia. Thank you, WCOM. Thank you, Orange County Department on Aging. And listeners, as always, thank you so much and take care.